Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning, and we're glad you're able to be here. Let's begin our worship by singing our gathering hymn number 38, printed in the order of worship as well, Thy Word. You'd stand and join us. Be with you. And we are glad that you're here. We welcome you in the name of Christ as we worship Him together today. And we especially welcome any guests we have in our service, and also we welcome those joining us by radio or by our live stream or watching us on YouTube. We're grateful that you are part of our worship today and pray it'll be a blessing to you. And we invite you to come and join us in worship anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. Let me point out several things that are going on. Our youth group will meet today at 5:30. Our deacons will meet Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday evening, we have kids club at 6, choir practice at 6:15, and prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock as we continue our study of Paul's letters to the Thessalonian church. Remember, our children have been participating in our Super Bowl of Caring, collecting cans of soup until today. Our goal was 350. Unfortunately, we didn't quite make it there. We got 291 cans this year, but that's still great. And we appreciate everyone who contributed to that. Now, remember, we collect for our food pantry year-round. This is a special effort that our children's ministry does each year. So keep that in mind as well, because that food does help many people in our community. The next step in putting together our church directory is underway. And here's how you can help. We need pictures. Now, we've got your photos to go in the section about, you know, who's who and that kind of thing. But we need candid photos of events here at the church. You know, if you have photos from our 175th anniversary, if you have photos from other things that have gone on, please see Dale. And she would love to get some of those from you that we can use for the activity pages in the directory. So thank you for your help with that. You see that there are a number of memorial gifts listed in the bulletin again today. And also, today's flowers are given by Diane Dixon in honor of all the leaders and volunteers of Murfreesboro Baptist Church. And we appreciate that very much. We gather together this morning to join our hearts and our minds in praise and thanksgiving and prayer and song as we worship God together. And as we do, may our eyes be open to see His glory and His grace. May our ears be open to hear His word to us. May our minds be open to receive the message we hear from Him today in scripture and sermon and song. And may our hearts be open to receive Christ and to trust and obey Him fully, offering to Him our very selves. So let's worship God together this morning. Our invocation is a unison prayer that's based on Psalm 138, printed in our order of worship, and it does continue on to the next page. So would you join me in this prayer? Let us pray. We give You thanks, O Lord, with our whole hearts for Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. You've exalted Your name and Your word above everything. When we called on You, You answered us and increased our strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise You, O Lord, for they have heard the words of Your mouth. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He perceives from far away. We know that You will fulfill Your purpose for us, for Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 344, Glorious is Thy Name, 344. Thank you. You may be seated, and let's have the children come for the children's sermon.
Morning. The Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13 this morning. A vision of God in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say this to these people: keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitants and houses without people and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remains in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Thank you. As we come now to, pardon me, to our prayer time, we want to remember Genevieve Broadhead, who is still in the hospital in Greenville. Please be praying especially for her. And then also Gerald Taylor will have knee replacement surgery at a Husky tomorrow, so keep him in your prayers. We're also praying for Randy and Cindy Copeland, Bonnie and Faye Jenkins, Gary Brett, Sherry and Jeanette Parker. And we've been remembering our folks who have been through surgery recently, and glad to see one of them back this morning. And then also remember Paula. She lost a cousin who was very dear to her this past week. So let's join together in prayer, first in a moment of quietness, then I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray. Holy, sovereign, merciful God, who created this universe through your eternal Son, the living Word, we praise you for who you are and for all that you've done in your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that after you'd created us in your own image to be in fellowship with you and we'd rebelled against you and gone our own way, you set about to bring us back and to redeem us as a people for yourself. We thank you that in Jesus Christ the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, showing us your face and your glory, and offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we might be forgiven and set free as he won the victory over sin and Satan through his death on the cross and his resurrection in glory. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of his return and the hope of our own resurrection at the last day, that we might live eternally in the new creation that he will bring. All glory to you, Lord, for your marvelous works and these great and precious promises. You teach us in your word to present our petitions and intercessions to you with thanksgiving. So we come to you now, Lord, to do that. We pray in this hour for the work of your kingdom here on earth, throughout the world. Lord, we pray for your churches throughout the world and for our church here at Murfreesboro Baptist. We thank you for how you are with us and how you are working in us and through us and among us. And Father, we pray that you will help us to respond faithfully to all that you are doing. We pray, Father, that you would bless missionaries wherever they are serving as they carry the gospel to those who don't yet know you, that you would empower them by your Spirit and that you would touch the hearts of those to whom they minister and share your word with. And Lord, that they would be open to receive that message and to put their faith in Christ and to follow Jesus as Lord. Father, we pray today for our country and for our state and our town, for all of our civil leaders at all levels. Lord, we know that their responsibility is great, and we pray that you would help them always to fulfill it in ways that would be right and just and that would be the best for our country and would be in accordance with your will and purpose. Father, we pray though for those who suffer because of all of the different devastating events that have happened in recent months with the natural disasters and with the wars and with mass killings. Lord, we know that the trauma from those events does not go away overnight, and we pray that you will help them as they continue to deal with that. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other lands who are persecuted because of their faith and ask your help for them. Lord, for those who may become martyrs for their faith, we pray that you would give them courage and boldness and grace. Lord, we pray for those who are sick or who have been injured, those in the hospital, those who are facing surgery, those who are recovering from surgery. We ask your special help for them, Lord. And we pray that where it is your will, you will bring full and complete healing. Father, we know that you have the power to heal, and we know that there are times when you choose to heal in miraculous ways. There are times when you choose to use the wisdom that you have revealed to the medical community to help our bodies to heal. But Father, we know that there are other times when you choose not to heal, but instead you choose to work through the suffering that the person is enduring in order to accomplish your purposes in their lives and the lives of those around them. And Father, we pray that whatever your will is in each situation, that your name will be honored and glorified and your kingdom will be advanced. We pray, Father, for those who are grieving because of the loss of loved ones or other losses that they may have experienced, and we ask your comfort and strength for them. We pray, Father, for the children of our church and our community, for the young people. We pray for parents and teachers and others who guide young people. We pray for our college students. We pray, Lord, for all the students and faculty and staff and administration at Chowan. We pray, Father, for other needs that are on our hearts and minds this morning. You know all about each one, and we lift them to you. And Lord, we pray for those who do not yet know you. We ask that you would touch their hearts, that you would open their hearts to be receptive to the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you will help us to be bold, winsome witnesses of that good news. And Lord, for those who have come to know you, but who are not walking with you and not walking in the fellowship of your church, Father, we ask that you would touch their hearts and that you would draw them back to you once again. And Lord, that those who are not following you closely, that you would draw them closer. And Lord, that you would stir their hearts to a deeper commitment to you. Father, we pray your blessings on our worship today, that we would honor and glorify you in all things, and that your church would be built up. And we lift our prayers now to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns together with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God now and forever. And Lord, we gather our prayers and we offer them in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 48. Great is thy faithfulness. Number 48. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy, sovereign, merciful God, in your mercy and grace, you've forgiven us and given us so much more than we could ever deserve. As we present our tithes and offerings to you now, may they be a worthy expression of our gratitude for all that you've done in Christ, and a sign of our desire to share in the work of your kingdom here on earth as faithful stewards. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, which was also the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore on the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. And yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Lord, bless the reading and hearing of your word and our meditation on it. We pray that you'd open our eyes and our hearts and our minds that we might see and hear and receive what you would have us to hear today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Joanne and I moved here to Murfreesboro about a year and a half ago, we lived in Wilmington, North Carolina for almost 7 years. And one thing you could count on in Wilmington, they were always building something somewhere. It was incredible. If you drove around much, you'd see some construction going on. It might be a business, a building. It might be a house or a group of houses. It might be an apartment or an apartment complex. It might be a road or a street that they were working on or a new one that they were building. But there was always some kind of building going on. And on my way to work at the church, I got to see a lot of construction. The amazing thing was that most of the time there was so much that had to be done before they ever actually started building. There was one particular project that was very interesting. When they started working on it, I wondered, well, what in the world are they going to build there? And then they brought in a bunch of treated wood utility poles. And then they took those and they drove them about halfway down into the ground. Then, after a few days, they came back and they cut them off just a little bit above the ground. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? What's going to be there? Well, then they built the framing to pour the concrete pad and it started to make sense. Those were pilings for the concrete pad to rest on to stabilize it so it wouldn't shift and crack as easily. Well, then they started building the building, and I'm still wondering, okay, what are they doing? Is it a business or a department? What is it? And finally, they put up a sign inviting people to lease a luxury apartment. But before they put up that luxury building, they had to prepare for it. They had to lay the groundwork. Lay the groundwork. You know, God works that way too. When we look at Scripture over and over and over, God is laying the groundwork, working all along beforehand for something that he was going to do. Moses was a great example of this. If you think about the story of Moses here, he is adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He grows up in Pharaoh's palace. He learns all about the Egyptians and their culture and about Pharaoh and what he's like. And that prepares him for when he's going to come back and tell Pharaoh that the Lord says, let my people go. But you remember that when Moses was 40 years old, he had gone out to see how his Hebrew people were doing, and an Egyptian was beating a Hebrew, and so Moses killed the Egyptian and ended up having to flee into the wilderness of Midian, and he was there for 40 years, and he was a shepherd in the wilderness. That prepared him for leading the people through the wilderness for those 40. You see, God was at work laying the groundwork. Now, sometimes it looks like God does something and there's an immediate response. For instance, when we read Matthew and Mark's accounts of when Jesus called the first disciples, they give us the impression that Jesus just simply walked by and looked at Peter and James and John and Andrew and said, follow me, and they all turned around and immediately followed him. But Luke gives us a fuller story, particularly about Simon Peter. He gives us the back story, so to speak. I mean, have you ever wondered why Simon Peter responded the way that he did and immediately followed Jesus and left everything to do it? I know I've wondered about that. But Luke helps us here because, you see, it starts back in chapter 4, verse 31 in the passage that we looked at last Sunday. And just to remind you a little bit about that, Jesus went from Nazareth to Capernaum, an important town on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Luke tells us that as Jesus taught the people there in the synagogue, they were amazed because he spoke with authority. And then we saw how there was a man in the synagogue who had a demon, and Jesus cast that demon out of him. And of course, the people were amazed again. And they were saying to one another, what kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and out they come. Well, nevertheless, needless to say, news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. And no doubt Simon heard about this. In fact, he may even have been there when it happened. But if he wasn't, and if he didn't hear about it, he had to know about the next thing that happened. Because Jesus went to Simon's home. And archaeological studies have indicated that there in Capernaum, where the ruins of the synagogue are, very close by is what was Simon's home and the ruins for it. In fact, there is a Christian church built over the ruins of Simon Peter's home. Jesus went there, and you know what happened. He went in, they said that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. Can you help her, Jesus? And he went, stood over her, rebuked the fever as he had rebuked the demon, and it left her, and she got up and started waiting on the people who were there. And then word got out about that, and everybody in town who had somebody sick or who had a demon, they brought them to Jesus there at Peter's house. And he healed them, and he cast out demons. So, surely Simon knew all this. If he didn't see it firsthand, you know his wife had to tell him about it. And Luke tells us that the next day at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place to pray, and the people came and followed him, found him, and wanted him to stay there. And he said, no, I have to go to the other towns and preach the good news of the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. And so he went around preaching in the synagogues of the various towns and cities. So the backstory that Luke gives us here is that Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing in the area of Capernaum, not just for one day, but for several weeks. He'd even been in Simon's home and healed his mother-in-law. Now, Luke doesn't tell us exactly how long Simon heard about or saw or interacted with Jesus before that day, but from what he says, it's pretty clear that Simon had already met Jesus. He'd already heard about him, seen him, probably met him, As he taught in Capernaum and its vicinity over a period of the last several weeks, all before Jesus got into Simon's boat to teach that day. And so here Jesus is teaching on the shore, and it happened. One day, or once, as the text says, again implying that he'd been ministering in the area for an extended period. One day, Jesus is teaching beside the sea, and the crowd is just getting closer and closer and closer. And they're beginning to press on him. And Jesus looks over there, and he sees two boats, and Simon, and Luke doesn't tell us it's Andrew, but it's Andrew was his partner according to the other Gospels. So Simon and Andrew are cleaning their nets, and their partners, James and John, are cleaning their nets. And Jesus goes and gets in Simon's boat. And he says, push off from the shore just a little bit. And he did. And Jesus sat there, and he taught the crowds who were on the shore. And then after he finished teaching, Jesus looks at Simon and he says, put out in the deep water and let your nets down. Now, Simon is an experienced fisherman. They fished with nets. They were commercial fishermen. And he looks at Jesus and he says, Master, we toiled all night long and we didn't catch anything. But maybe he's thinking about what's happened the last few days. But if you say so, I'll do it. And they went out, let down the nets, and caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. And so they beckoned to James and John, and they came, and they filled both boats with fish to the point that they were beginning to sink. And Simon fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man. And all of them were astonished at what had happened. But Jesus told Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And so Simon and James and John all left their boats there on the shore. They left everything and they followed Jesus. That moment, Jesus' call and Simon Peter's response, it didn't just happen out of the blue, according to what Luke tells us. Jesus had been laying the groundwork for it for some time. And that's what we have to do as we proclaim the gospel to the world around us. We have to lay the groundwork. We have to engage our community. We have to establish and nurture relationships. We have to build bridges into the community around us by embodying the presence of Christ to our community as we love God and follow Jesus and serve others. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, we do it through deeds of mercy and acts of love. Things like what we do with our helping ministries, the food bank, our food pantry, the children's ministry's Super Bowl of Caring, backpack buddies during the school year, the angel tree and the fuel fund at Christmas, financial assistance through our community missions, and other efforts. Things like getting to know our neighbors where we live or work, living out our faith before them in winsome ways, inviting them to church services or activities, and inviting them to Jesus. Things like being involved in building relationships in our community through our involvement in volunteer and civic organizations and clubs and things like that. Things like interacting with and supporting our own children and youth, their families, the students, faculty, and staff at Chowan, and a host of other things that we do as a congregation and as individual believers. Because you see, in time, these deeds of love and mercy build bridges and open doors for a verbal witness. They earn us a hearing from those that we're trying to reach. The old adage that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Friends, that's true. If they think that you're just trying to make them a convert, they're going to hold you at arm's length. But if they know you really care about them, and you're doing that because you care about them, then the Holy Spirit uses these kinds of things, this groundwork that we've been laying, the Holy Spirit uses that to open their minds and their hearts to hear what we say about Jesus. So to reach people for Christ, we have to lay the groundwork of deeds of love and mercy and words of witness. And now some may be saying, well, you know, we've been doing that, and we've been doing it for a long time, so where are the people? Why aren't we seeing more people respond? And that's a fair question. That's a fair question. In a conversation with a ministry colleague a few years ago about this very question, he made this observation. He said, Paul said the gospel was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And today we are living in a Gentile world where the gospel is foolishness to them. And so we have to demonstrate it, and we have to earn a hearing for it. And that takes time. So just keep engaging the community. That's what we have to do. Keep engaging our community as we love God, follow Jesus, and serve others. And as we do, God will work through us to lay the groundwork for what He wants to do as He opens doors for us to share the gospel, and He opens people's hearts to hear it and to turn to Christ in faith. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You will help us, that we would be faithful in doing Your will, faithful in living out our faith in winsome ways, faithful in sharing the gospel verbally in bold and winsome ways, so that the groundwork might be laid for Your Spirit to work in the hearts of those who hear, to turn them to You, so that they too might follow Jesus in the fellowship of His church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our hymn of response this morning, what's the Lord saying to you through the scriptures and the songs and the sermon this morning? What kind of commitment is He dealing with you about? Is there something that He's calling you to do? Some area, some deeper commitment He's calling you to? Maybe some specific kind of ministry within our church? Whatever it is, would you be obedient to the Lord this morning? And if you need to share that commitment, we invite you to come as we sing. If you've never followed Jesus like Peter did, then today's a good day to do that. We invite you to put your trust in Christ and to follow Him as Lord and Savior. And we invite you to come and share that good news, or if you need guidance in making that commitment, we invite you to come. Our hymn is number 476, You Walk Along Our Shoreline. 476. pray it in his name. And now as you go forth to follow Jesus as Lord on mission with him, laying the groundwork for people to hear and receive the good news of Christ, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.